This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning to you, Charlie.
And you too, Franklin.
Happy anniversary. 10th anniversary for you and I today.
Today. It's our anniversary.
That's right.
So, yes, indeed. Big smooch to you. We've had a lot of fun.
Oh,
10 years of being silly on the radio.
Yes, and now they've...
And talking a tiny bit of gardening.
Change location, so I'm across the desk from you, so you don't kick me as much.
I don't get to elbow you.
That's true.
It's true. We used to sit side by side.
Yeah.
But now we're on camera, so we'll wave to the camera.
Exactly. Hello, hello. Hey,
if you're listening on the web, you can see us on the web.
Not that we're advocating that, because, you know.
It's Saturday morning.
Yeah. Oh, and you were out late last night.
I was partying.
Kicking
like
up your heels.
Ooh, baby. It
big
was
wedding.
So much fun.
Yeah.
My niece, Chloe, married the love of her life, Chris, and the wedding was perfect. It was such a great wedding. It was a great party. It was just great food, you know, nice people.
Yep.
It was about 75 people, so nice group size.
Right. Oh,
music
good.
Was great. One caveat, the air conditioning was insufficient.
Ooh.
And we were upstairs in something called the Jam Factory, and it was a sweat box.
Oh, boy.
We all lost 10 pounds easy.
However, you know, you had to hydrate, and I'm sure that you didn't stick
and
to just
it was
water.
An
you
open know. Bar, so of course it was one of those weddings.
Why didn't you invite me? Oh, well, okay. There you go. Because it'd be dry soon. enough. All right, let's get the phone numbers on the air here, because we'd love folks to give you a call and ask
talk
a
about
question.
Gardening or
yes.
the latest wedding they've been to.
Exactly, sure. In Toronto, here's the number to reach Charlie Dobbin, my friends. 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, it is toll free. 1-866-740-4740. Our mantra is call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know. Is Sebastian on the board
he
there?
He is, yep.
Yeah.
Hey, hi, Sebastian.
Okay, gotcha.
Maybe he'll fill us in, because he was at a wedding last weekend.
Oh, that's right.
It is.
He went with best bib and tucker, as they say.
He looked amazing.
Sharp. Anyway, let him know that you're a first-time caller, and that's what you're going to hear when you get to the
It'll
airwaves.
Be louder, though, because Frank will get so excited.
Right.
You'll blow your ears out.
Get your garden wings. Oh, okay.
Speaking of garden wings, Garden Walk Buffalo.
Oh.
Next weekend. Both days.
You were telling me about this.
Wonderful event.
Sounds amazing.
It's the largest free garden tour in all of North America.
Whoa.
There are 65,000 plus visitors.
Uh-huh.
They come in from all over the United States and Canada, and even further, obviously, abroad. It's free. It's self-guided. There's no tickets required, and there's over 400 gardens open to anyone who would like to look at them.
Why don't we do the show from there?
That's what I was saying. We should be doing a remote next weekend in Buffalo. So we're going to have to work on that for next year, I think. So both days, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4, there is a chance. They have buses. There's 5 shuttle buses.
Yeah.
So you can hop on and off the bus to get to some of the different gardens. But it's not just the gardens, it's the history. It's Buffalo history and architecture.
Mm-hmm.
So they have knowledgeable people on the buses who can point out interesting architecture as you're driving along, give some history of the area. So, I mean, it's a whole education, but it is called Garden Walk. And, I've never been, and I would love to go. So if anybody's listening from www.gardenwalkbuffalo.com, can you keep us in mind for next year?
Yeah, there
We'd
you go.
We'd love to go.
And hi to Cindy Zach, who is from the Buffalo area.
Yeah.
The regular listener.
We haven't heard from Cindy in a long
time. Yeah. But anywho.
Hope she's well. Also, the annual Free Edwards, a lot of events going on, obviously. So there's still the kind of tour stuff. The Hort Societies typically take a hiatus in the summer, so we don't have a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
But we do, of course, have the Toronto Botanical Gardens open, of course, 7 days a week, but special on Thursdays. There's music in the evenings. There's really, really good food. They've got an outdoor patio, the botanical bar, the garden shop, of course, free guided tours of the Toronto Botanical Gardens. So Thursdays are special if you can get in there in the evening. And as well, of course, Royal Botanical Gardens is doing special things this weekend. Family entertainment includes plants to die with, discovering fibers, tours.
Plants to die with?
Yeah, so D-Y-E.
Oh, I get okay.
Yeah, no, that's the whole thing.
Right,
right?
The other way.
Natural
the other way.
Dyes, right?
Yeah.
Natural colors that come from plants to dye fabrics.
Oh,
cotton,
see, that's neat.
Flax.
Very good.
Wool, et cetera. Yeah, yeah. Forget all the, you know, polyester stuff. There's a special thing going on this weekend called Edible Weekends. There's cooking demonstrations, all kinds of things. And remember, support your local farmers, your local growers.
Yep.
Enjoy super fresh food by supporting your local farmers market. So in my hood, we have a couple in Richmond Hill farmers markets. One is at the Elgin Barrow Arena every Sunday all summer. And there's also one at Hillcrest Mall every Sunday. And it's pretty yummy food and nice things like honey and baked goods.
There's I think of the location for now. A farmer's market, anyway. Just Woodbine,
in your area?
Woodbine and Davis, just a little bit east on Davis
market.
There.
Yeah.
Lovely little farmer's market. We got some, great sausages. Had them last night.
There
they
you
were
go.
Terrific.
Yes, so you'll often
local.
Have like an organic butcher there or, you know, typically, it would be an organic butcher that would show up at a farmer's market. And if they can make a living doing that, it's a lot of work.
Yes, indeed.
Work all week to grow the food, work all weekend to sell the food. So thank you to the farmers.
We fully support all those local markets in our area.
Yeah.
Or try to anyway. Yeah. You know. Okay, we better scoot along because we have a whole raft of folks all set up to talk to you, Charlie.
Are you sure just me? I think they want to talk to you.
Well, maybe a hello to me would be nice. But Helen is waiting on the line. We'll get to you, Helen. Just momentarily here on Zoomer Radio, it's The Garden Show on the air.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, just before we head to Helen on the line here, I want to thank Alan Gelman.
Give him a big smooch.
Yes, indeed. Because when I came in, I got my regular coffee there, you know, coffee with just milk in it. The milk was lumpy.
Like seriously, like chewy milk, chewy coffee.
He found some new milk anyway, away somewhere, and made
and
me a
offer.
Fresh
he came
cup.
In and he got your cup
God bless
and
him.
Refreshed
thank
your
you,
cup.
Alan.
He's the best.
And he's coming up next on
The Car Show.
The Car Show, yeah.
After The Garden
Dave's Corner
Show.
Garage. All right, Helen, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello, Charlie and Frank.
Hello.
Congratulations on 10 years.
Thank you.
Awesome.
We've lasted longer than some marriages.
Oh, not mine.
Good for you.
Good to hear.
It's going on 60. Anyway.
No. Oh, wow. Wonderful. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yes, I would like to talk about Canterbury bells.
Yes.
I have a pot, and is this a bell that has a bulb?
No, that is a herbaceous plant. It's just roots under the ground.
Okay.
If it's Canterbury bells, what color are the flowers?
Well, they're sort of a rosy red.
Nice.
With the little tiger thing on the inside of the bell.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I wouldn't be able to plant these in the garden.
You would, actually, and they'd be likely to survive the winter if you get them in the ground before the end of September.
Before the end of September.
Yeah, so anytime sort of late August, early September is a perfect time to get into the garden, to be transplanting, planting, dividing, digging, doing all that kind of garden maintenance that we can do in the fall so that everything's super happy come spring.
Oh, that's great.
So, but a sunny spot, make sure it's getting lots of sun where you plant them.
Okay. You so much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Helen.
All right. Bye.
Always bye-bye. Nice to welcome you here to the Garden Show on actually, it's a beautiful Saturday morning.
It is.
And we welcome from Welland, there's Jack on the line. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great. Excellent. What's going on at your place?
Okay. I'm calling about a begonia Rex.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And when I bought it a couple 2 weeks ago, the two pots were really, really dry. So what I did, I soaked them overnight.
Okay.
And then the next day, I transplanted them.
Okay.
Into a bigger pot.
Okay. Oh, okay. Good idea. Yep.
Okay. So then what happened, I lost pretty well all the leaves. There's only 3 or 4 leaves left.
Wow.
The leaves on the begonia?
Yes.
They died off. So what did I do wrong? Too much watering?
Okay, so that's a good point. You said they were super dry when you brought them home. Giving them a thorough watering was a great idea.
Yes.
Then you said you transplanted them into it. How much bigger of a pot did you go into?
It's about a 6-inch pot, I guess.
So they might have been in a 4-inch and you moved them up to a 6?
Okay.
Does that sound right? Is that what you?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. That's fine. Yeah. We go up one step when we trans.
Okay.
We go up.
You don't want to go too big. You right
exactly.
Away.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to go from a 4-inch pot to a 14-inch pot because then they will go into shock.
No, I didn't do that.
Yeah. So if you went from a 4 to a 6, that's fine. And then when you transplanted, you probably watered again. So that would have been 2 days in a row of watering.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then have you watered since then?
No.
Good.
No, because the ground is.
Still wet.
Still wet.
Yeah. And have you got them in? It's getting a little bit of morning sunshine. Are they outside?
No, they're inside.
Could you put them outside?
Why, sure.
Well, get them out where they'll get some morning sun.
Morning sun,
and they'll like that because it's a soft light. Unlike that harsh afternoon sun where the leaves will turn crispy, get them into some morning sun or some dappled sun so they're getting a little bit of sunshade. And, of course, air circulation, all those things are good for plants. At this time of year, the humidity is wonderful. Do not water those plants again until the top of the soil feels dry.
Okay.
In the meantime, get a little pair of scissors if necessary and cut out any brown or yellow leaves.
Yes.
But let them. Yeah. If it's a little bit of brown on the leaf, leave it alone. But if the whole leaf is brown, take it right out because you don't want those leaves sitting in the pot where they're going to rot and start up a little fungal problem in the pot. But they're pretty tough little plants. If you can get them into a happy situation with some air and a bit of sun, I think you'll find they'll probably start shooting out some new growth.
Oh, right.
But
okay, Jack.
No water till the soil feels dry.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's encouragement.
Good stuff.
Right.
Well, you let us know. Call us in a month or so. Give us an update.
That's why Dr. Charlie is here. Gotta make you feel better.
Encouragement.
You know? Exactly. And we have to take a little bit of a break here, but we do have Rosa and John on the line. We'll be back to talk to those folks here in just moments on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And, Charlie, let me quickly mention, we got a couple of lines open right now at 416-360-0740 or anywhere else in the province toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And with that done, let's go to Rosa in Milton. Good morning, Rosa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Also to Charlie.
Oh, yes, hello there. What's going on?
I have a lilac tree, and it is very, very tall now, so that I can't be picking the violet
flowers,
the lilacs to, you know, bring into your house.
Yeah.
And I want my husband now to cut it across to about, let's say, maybe I'm 5 foot, so about 5'6". In and around there so I can reach them. So when can he cut that across?
Okay, so two things. The best time to prune a lilac is right after it finishes blooming. So that would have been, you know, a month ago or more. If you prune it now, I haven't looked closely. I mean, you could take a really close look. The thing with lilacs is they form their flower buds during the summer, and those little buds They're round as opposed to leaf buds, which are more elongated. Mm. So if you look closely, you can see a difference between flower buds and leaf buds on a lilac. Hard to say whether the flower buds are formed yet. If they aren't, you could still prune. If they are, you can prune, but you will be pruning off next spring's flowers.
Okay.
So that's the challenge with when to prune. So you're right. Good idea. Prune lilacs. Keep them down to a height where we can smell and enjoy and take in some of the lilac blooms. And that does mean sometimes bringing the plants down a number of feet. It is right now with the heat, it's a very stressful time to do sort of high impact pruning. So I wouldn't recommend it. Just it's been dry. It's been very hot. If you were to do some sort of major pruning on the plant, you may find you will shock it so much that you'll start to see a bunch of dieback on it. If possible, I would wait. Wait until next year, till right after it finishes blooming, then get out that chainsaw and get to work, whether it's May or June, but right away. And, you know, on a dry, sunny day, still, you know, early enough in the season that it's not super hot, and you'll be much more successful with that pruning job.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome. There's a happy sound. All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye now.
And, I totally understand why Rosa wants to do that, because there's nothing worse than having all your lilacs 12, 15 feet up in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I want those lilacs.
Down where
I need a ladder to go up and sniff them.
Okay. Off to Mrs. Yeah, I wonder if it's our Maltese-born John on the line.
Good morning, Charlie.
Oh, yes.
Hello, Frank.
Good morning, John.
Hi, John.
Charlie, yes. I'm a little bit curious.
Yeah.
And this is regarding the tomatoes. Mm-hmm. My tomatoes, they are over 6 feet in height.
Yeah.
And I haven't had one tomato yet. I have around 30 plants.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, quite a few tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But my neighbor across the street, she doesn't do no miracle growth, no this, no that. And I'll tell you, the tomatoes she has, they are fantastic. And they are only maybe, I say, 2 feet, the most 3 feet height.
Wow.
Can you tell me, is it, and may I add, that my tomatoes are morning sun.
Right.
In other words, around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, the shade.
Yeah, yeah. And is your neighbor's all day sun?
I think so. I say yes, it is.
Okay.
But with me, I think I told you a while ago, in the beginning, I put peat moss in my soil, I put manure.
Mm-hmm.
So and by the way, I cut a lot of leaves, so I open up a little bit.
And
then I do the right thing. Now, I let you tell me what is going on.
Okay, there could be a couple things going on. One is...
Okay.
You know, there's hundreds of varieties of tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
So some tomatoes are determinant. They stay short and bushy and often will bear fruit earlier than the indeterminate tomatoes, which are the ones that get tall, like beefsteaks as a good example. Mm. Even the sweet 100s and sweet millions, tiny little sweet tomatoes, but again, 8-10 feet tall if allowed to get to that height. And actually, the growers in the greenhouses that grow tomatoes in Ontario for the Ontario market in the winter, their tomatoes are kept alive for 11 months, and they're 20 feet tall. So,
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so ours die because of the frost, or they're limited by how tall they can get out in our gardens. The wind knocks them over and stuff. So tomatoes, indeterminate tomatoes, can grow very, very big, and it's only frost that stops them. So there could be a variety thing going on there that the tomatoes you're growing...
If I may interrupt you, Charlie, we do have a lot of varieties because... Mm. My wife, you know, she does them from seeds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have some Marzano. I have Bullheart. I have beefsteak.
Nice.
Bell peppers. Roma.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So I pinch them from the top. Is that a good idea to pinch them from the top so they don't keep growing up higher?
Okay. No, you pinch the top and they get wider.
Oh, shucks.
Right? That thing. So you take off the top terminal bud, the tip of the plant, you will encourage side shoots. So it'll be a much bushier plant, but not as tall. But then you're a guy who goes in there and takes a bunch of leaves off, so that can often work because you're still getting that sun penetration into that bushy plant.
Mm-hmm.
I had an email on this week as well from somebody, very similar question, like, what should I do? Should I take off the tops or should I pinch the sides?
And
the shape the plant will grow to is very much dependent on how much space you have. Like if you've got 3 feet between each plant or a meter between each plant, you can go bushy. But if you're in a small space and you've only got, you know, half that space between each tomato, you want them tall and narrow. Yeah, so you want them tall and narrow. So you don't want to pinch the tops. You want to pinch the suckers out of where the main stem.
Yeah, which I do that at the beginning.
Right. So, and you know what I'll do? I'll usually leave my tomato so that I get suckers just at the bottom. So instead of a single stem all the way up, like a tree tomato, I'll allow it to maybe have three straight up from the bottom main stems. But from that point forward, all suckers come out. And I don't take leaves off until I'm trying to really get the ripening going on. And right now, I'm all green. All my tomatoes are green. So, you know, variety.
Yesterday I took some leaves off quite a bit. And then, actually, I have half of them. Then I'm going to leave the half of the rest. I don't cut the leaves, and I let them be, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, because remember...
If I'm not mistaken, long ago, you said that when you put the manure, you encourage a lot of leaves.
True. Manure, it is high in nitrogen, which does encourage green growth. But remember, the plant needs to photosynthesize in order to grow, and that's why we need the green growth. So if
not
we take all the leaves off, then the plant stops growing. You know, so it is important. There's that balance. And that's hard, but I know you're out in your garden a lot, so you're looking for the balance between enough leaves for maximum growth, maximum photosynthesis, but not so many leaves as to shadow and shade and limit the fruit and flower. So, yeah, for each of us, it's variety and soil dependent. So I don't use Miracle-Gro on my tomatoes just because they get too big too fast. But, yeah, I have a lot of compost mixed in with my soil and, just let things happen. Every year is a new year, I find. And I grow different varieties every year, too. So you never really know. But different maturity dates with different varieties. Mm-hmm. So don't worry, it's only July.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good
thanks,
stuff,
Charlie.
John.
Thanks for calling,
okay, John.
Bye-bye.
You take care, boy. He's got to have a fair-sized property. All the,
I know. We
all
keep saying we're going to go visit him.
Yeah.
We're going to have to really go visit him.
We'll do a remote from his backyard.
That's right. Good idea. We got to work on this.
You know, I think we're winning the fight in Coburg. We've got two callers lined up. First of all, there's Don on the line. Good morning, Don. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Good morning, and how are you both this morning?
Great.
Good morning.
I've got a question with regard to a pre-emergent corn gluten product that I put on my lawn in the early spring when the forsythias come out to stop the germination of crabgrass.
Yep.
And I was wondering if at the same time I could apply a fertilizer and grass seed.
Okay, great question. Yes, you can apply fertilizer, but typically the corn gluten is mixed with a fertilizer to go on your lawn. But absolutely do not plant grass seed at the same time because
it won't germinate either.
Correct. The corn gluten can't differentiate between a crabgrass seed and a, you know, Kentucky bluegrass seed.
Right.
So the corn gluten stops the germination of all seeds. So you've got a 6-week window. You either plant your seeds way back in March and then you're out there with the corn gluten 6 weeks later because the grass seeds have already germinated, or vice versa, you're using your corn gluten when the forsythia is blooming and then giving that 6-week window before you do your top dressing and overseeding.
Excellent. So if I wait 6 weeks, then I can do the top dressing.
You should be able to, yep.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for your call.
Enjoy your show.
Thanks, Don. And you know, we often think of corn gluten as something to only use in the spring to control crabgrass. Mm-hmm. But remember, and it was classic this past season, all the dandelions all bloomed at once.
Yeah.
Right? So it was like seas of yellow. And then a week later, it was seas of fluffy seeds blowing around.
Yep.
The corn gluten is very effective on all those dandelion seeds. So, you know, by that time, we're usually about late June, mid-June, depending on the kind of spring we're having. So if you don't do the corn gluten back to stop the crabgrass back in April or you know, depending on the season, late March, then you can always do the corn gluten in June or early July to limit the dandelions.
You got it. Okay. Well, I'd mentioned, Charlie, that we do have another caller from Coburg, and we do. Hey, there's Brian. Good morning, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank. Morning, Charlie. How are you this morning?
Excellent.
Good. I have a sunburst locust that's probably 12 to 15 feet high, and I want to raise the crown. Now, there's one persistent branch that's quite, I guess, would be maybe an inch and a half around. Mm-hmm. I want to know when is the best time to cut that branch off. Would it be in the fall or would it be in the spring?
You know what? You could do it anytime, almost. Your real important, if it's actually an inch and a half, that's a fairly large branch. And that's like, what, right at eye height or head height?
Yeah, so, just about eye height.
Yeah, and they're typically, they shoot out horizontally, so you hit it as you're trying to mow the lawn or whatever.
That's correct, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So... Your most important criteria when you're cutting off a branch like that, I would not do it in the heat of July, so I wouldn't do it now, but you're right.
Okay.
You could do spring, you could do fall, so you could
do
kind of like late August, anytime in September, or...
Late August, September, okay, yeah.
Or, you know, next spring, but I would personally, if it's that big of a branch, the sooner you take it off, the better.
Yep.
So fall would be ideal. Make sure it's a dry day, there's no rain in the forecast.
Dry and no rain, okay.
Because you're going to be wounding the plant. When you prune off a branch of that size, you are leaving an open, gaping wound.
Right.
And
yes,
the plant, if it's healthy and happy, will heal that wound, just like we get a scab, mm-hmm. we get an abrasion, we grow a scab, a dried spot, and the plant will do the same thing if the weather and the health is all in its favor. So that's why we like dry, sunny, preferably windy days. We'll just see a better response to that wound.
Yes.
But with such a heavy branch, don't just go in there with your saw and start sawing off that big branch, because the weight as it starts to fall can strip the bark right down the main stem, the trunk of the tree.
So take it out in sections.
Correct. So this is a three-cut situation.
Good.
So
yes.
you go about a foot out from the main stem, go about halfway through that branch, then come in a couple inches and go from the underneath up the other halfway through the branch.
Yep.
When it drops, and you've still got that foot-long stub to deal with. But at least you got the weight eliminated.
Yeah. So it doesn't strip the rest of the bark down
the
tree.
And now you come and you look closely, you're going to see something called the branch collar. It's a kind of almost like a donut around where the branch meets the main stem. There's kind of a bit of a swollen spot, and that mm-hmm. collar, you want to cut just outside the collar. You want to leave the collar intact.
Yes.
But it's your nice clean cut with clean tools is right at the collar, and you'll get your healing the fastest.
Wow.
Great.
And no spray, none of that tar stuff. Just let the plant heal itself.
Just let it heal itself naturally.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very kindly.
You're very, very, very welcome.
Okay. Another satisfied customer.
I love a sunburst honey locust. A friend of mine who lives out in Prince Edward County, who is a very beautiful garden, like mm-hmm. she could probably turn it into a botanical garden. Her place is so gorgeous. We were talking about us moving out there and I need trees. And she said, I have had great success with sunburst honey locust. They grow quickly.
Uh-huh.
They're soft. Gentle shade, bright, bright yellow leaves. The new leaves are, bright yellow. Super cheerful plants. Easy, no pests, no diseases. They're not like messy. There's no fruits or cones. There's no flowers. Magnolias drop all those flowers.
Yeah.
No messy stuff. So she's like a big fan of sunburst honey locust. So I've got that on my wish list for my next location.
Okay. I'm a little disappointed.
What?
I haven't had a first-time caller today.
Good point.
So I'm going to try to incur, because my bell is right here.
It's getting dusty.
And no ringy-ding. And, so any first-time caller out there, get up the nerve. We've got lines open right now.
We do, yeah.
In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, as a matter of fact, 1-866-744-740. So, screw up your courage. We're easy to deal with. We welcome
you. We don't bite.
No, we do not.
And the coffee is always on, though we can't guarantee the milk is good.
That's right. Okay, back in a moment here on The Garden Show. Tony's on the line from Scarborough, and we'll deal with whatever problem he's got for us here on The Garden Show.
We will.
Well, yes. If it's got anything to do with nematodes, maybe I might be able to.
Season's coming.
Don't be a smart guy. Okay, back in a moment.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the Garden Show, Frank Proctor, here is saying it's a gorgeous Saturday morning. It really is.
Sure is. It's not too hot either.
No. Beautiful weather. And so we welcome Tony to the line from Scarborough. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Charlie, I have a question for you. I don't know if it's your expertise, but I'm just going to ask it anyway.
No.
I have two cedar trees.
Mm-hmm.
They are about 5 feet tall,
mm-hmm.
planted right by the foundation in my the back of my house.
Mm-hmm. How close to the...
harmful to the foundation to... to have trees, the cedar trees right by the foundation? Is it harmful to the foundation?
How close are they to the foundation?
Yeah, almost right there.
Oh, like an inch or two away?
Not inches, say. I would say about 6 inches.
6 inches. Okay, the cedar trees themselves don't have highly invasive root systems, though over the years the roots do build up. 5 feet tall, so did you plant them or were they there when you moved in?
I planted them, unfortunately.
And how many years ago was that?
This was about maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah. It
they
would
a tiny little plants when I planted them.
Of course. And that's the old, little puppies that grow into Great Danes, right?
Right.
So it would be better if the trees were further away from the foundation, both for the health of the foundation, but also for the health of the trees. Because the trees will die along that backside where they're up against the wall. There's no air, there's no sun. They'll just be a yellow, golden mess back there.
They're growing perfectly. They are nice and green.
Yeah, so far so good, but give them a few more years and you'll just start to see they won't be doing as well. So 10 years is quite a long time to consider moving them. For now, you know what I'd probably do? Because it's been too long and it's not easy to move a tree that's been there that long, just make sure you stay on top of pruning them. Make sure that you're shearing them every single year in late spring. So that might be early June, depending on the kind of spring we're having. And shearing them back at least half an inch to an inch every single year. And that way they won't get any bigger. They'll stay around that 5 foot size,
right,
which is probably the optimal size to look good on your house as well. And that will also keep them green and bushy. You'll always have that new growth happening. You're probably good doing that for the next 5 or 10 years. But at that point, you'll have to remove them.
But the roots won't hurt the foundation by any chance?
Eventually they will, but not in the very near term. So, like I say, you're good for another 5 to 10 years, but I wouldn't try and push it beyond that in terms of the roots doing damage.
All right.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony. There was a kind of an interesting question.
It happens. Yeah. So often plants are planted too close to the home.
Well, it's not looking in the future that's the problem.
It's hard to envision how these plants are going to grow. The other thing right at our foundations, of course, is that we have the eaves. So we have our roof coming over, obviously protecting the ground around our foundation. Mm-hmm. And the poor little plants are in there under the eaves, getting no light and no rain.
Yeah.
So it's a hard place to plant. You're always better, err on the side of planting too far out rather than too far in when it comes to buildings. Okay.
Back to my problem of no bell ringing this morning. I'm just wondering, Siva is on the line from Toronto.
Our friend Siva.
When you called the garden show for the very first time, did you get a ring of the bell?
I think I did, but you can ring it again.
Well, you know what? Just in case. See, I just want to make sure
we're being
that you
proactive here.
Yes.
I was doing my best Jack Benny there. Well, okay.
Happy right. Fans.
Welcome back, Siva.
Go ahead, Siva.
Okay. I have a squash and butternut and pumpkin vines. Mm-hmm. And what I want to know, they send out a lot of shoots, mm-hmm. which do bear fruit also. But should I remove them?
Oh, why? Didn't you plant them to get the fruit?
Yes, but like cucumbers, I understood you have to take those runners off. So I wanted to know if it were the same with the pumpkin and the butternut squash.
It depends how much room you have. If you've got the room, let the plant send out all those runners and put out all those flowers.
All right, okay.
Create all those squashes. It's obviously takes a lot of energy for the plant to be able to produce all that fruit.
Yeah.
So
okay.
If you're growing squash to get into one of those competitions for growing the biggest squash in all of Ontario, then you're right. You're going to want to remove the other squashes.
Okay.
But if you're growing because you're making, you know, growing some food for later on this fall, I would maximize the harvest by, you know, keeping the plants healthy, happy, well watered, little top dressing with some compost. But it does come down to space.
Okay.
We grew pumpkins one time at our place when the kids were little, and the pumpkin vines went right through the lawn and around and around and around.
Mine do very well. My daughter had sent you some pictures of those long Italian squash. They were like 30 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I always have veggies for the next year, so which I make soup.
Good.
So
that's perfect.
That's good. Yeah, okay, tell John to use the powdered milk because my tomatoes have so many. I can almost make fried green tomatoes.
Like today. Well, that's great. Okay, well, I'm sure John is still listening. So you like that? You like that skim milk powder, huh?
Yes, it really works. This is the first time for me that I've been so successful.
And did you do it with the bottle cutout idea?
Yes, I did that, and an animal came in and removed it. I guess he was trying to get the milk, you know? But it's doing good.
Well, there you go. And that was from one of our callers a month or so ago.
Yeah.
So that's a good little recipe. Interesting.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Siva.
Thank you very much. Who is our chap in Tilsonburg?
Oh, yeah, now you're going to ask me.
I'm trying desperately.
Warner, thank
that's
you.
It. Yeah, yeah,
we
you
remember.
Got it.
And is it Tilsonburg? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious.
Right on.
You know, we are bumping up right next to our break here, so we better do that so that we have time to come in and say hi to Ann in Newmarket and Joan in North York and whoever else we can squeeze in on the show here on Zoomer Radio. It's The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's find out what's going on in Newmarket. There's Ann with a comment or a question. I'm not sure. Hi, good morning, Ann.
Good morning. How are you? And I want to congratulate on your 10 years.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So nice to know that there's been a show that long on air.
That's right.
I'm phoning Frank for you again.
Yeah.
About the mystery flower.
Oh, right. Yes.
to confirm what it's called, you mean?
Yes. I want to get some, but I don't know where to go to get any.
Okay. So do you want to go ahead, Frank?
Well, now, Kathy, and I believe her husband's name is John. They live in Markham.
But you're going to send a caller to their house to go dig some out of their garden?
No, but I'm just wondering if he has any more.
Let's clarify what it is. It's a hardy geranium.
Mm-hmm.
The actual Latin name is geranium, and it's hardy in the sense that it's perennial. So this is a plant that survives the winter and comes back every spring and is very dependable as a ground cover. Nice in the case of the one that these lovely listeners shared with you and me. It's a geranium and it's called macrorhizum. So macro as in big, macro, and then rhizome as in the fact that it grows off of rhizomes. It just kind of basically wanders through the woods as a ground cover. It sends out these little legs kind of go out and then it pops, touches the ground, more little green growth, and it's lovely covered in blooms all spring.
That sounds so nice.
But there's many, many, many cultivars of geranium out there. It's like so many, there's hundreds. And I've just brought up a website here called Perennial Geraniums Cultivars for Every Garden.
Okay.
And I Googled, you know, perennial geranium, but the actual website is flowergardeningmadeeasy.com.
Okay.
Where are you? Okay, wait. You just go to John's Garden Center. John's Garden. John's Perennial Garden Center. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
Okay. You keep listening. I'll give you the address. He's up in Newmarket. He's got lots and lots and lots of... He's a perennial guy. He'll have several geranium cultivars for you to choose from, I'm sure.
How about that?
All right.
Oh, great.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you,
and the same to you. Thanks for joining us here on the Garden Show. Yeah. Well, son of a gun, let's head in another direction. North York, as a matter of fact. There's Joan. Good morning, Joan. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call, and congratulations for your 10 years.
Thank you.
I know there's not much time left. I'm calling about my raspberries.
Mm-hmm.
And They're about 5 years old, I guess. I planted them about 5 years ago, and I watered them more this spring than usual, maybe four times or five times a week. And then I tried to prune the old ones out, but now I have many dead branches that have just turned brown and many suckers, so I don't know what I did wrong this year.
Have you ever pruned them in the past?
No, because they haven't been this thick before.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing with raspberries. They have a tendency to take over the garden because they do send little branches up from the root. So the trick with raspberries is, remember, once a cane has flowered, that cane will typically turn brown and shrivel up. So late in the season, it might be September, October, and depending whether you've got everbearing or just spring-bearing raspberries, you'll take a walk through your raspberry patch, pruning out at ground level the canes that have fruited. Then in the spring, as the new growth is starting to emerge, you'll go through and you'll tip prune the new growth, trying to encourage some bushiness off of the canes that are growing. And then midsummer, you'll take another walk through your raspberry patch just to eliminate where it's getting too thick and dense, where you can no longer get through, but also any wizened or unhappy, unhealthy-looking canes that are coming up. So it is kind of a three-part process, fall, spring, and then sort of early midsummer, to take a walk through, obviously hopefully picking and enjoying as you go, because raspberries are the best. But yeah, they are a little bit of maintenance that way. Okay.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
you,
Joan.
You're welcome.
And I am absolutely delighted that we've got just enough time
Wait,
here.
I'm going to, what? Well, what were you going to say? Delighted?
Well, no.
You're going
to
go to somewhere?
I have a first-time caller, you see.
Oh, hold on. I'm just going to John's Garden. I mentioned to Anne in Newmarket. John's actually in Uxbridge. So it's called John's Garden. Its actual address is 4300, so 4300 Concession Road 7 in Uxbridge. Or you can, he also has a website, and I think it's just called John's Garden. He's also on Facebook, but he's quite a wonderful source for perennials.
Okay. We do have time, I do believe. Yes,
two
indeed.
Minutes. Two minutes.
Okay. Just a minute. Hey, Kathy, bless your heart, from Otterville, first
wow,
time caller.
Great sounding town.
I know. Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Thank you for squeezing me in.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I have a yew hedge that's really old, like 30 years old. It needs a really good chop down, and I just don't know when's the best time to do that.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about yews is they're pretty forgiving. That unlike many plants, you will get some new growth off of that very old wood.
Yeah.
But to do a dramatic cutting back, like taking it down by a third or more,
yeah,
I would do in the fall. I would do that early to mid-September.
Okay.
During dry weather. Make sure all your cuts are on a slant so that rain and dew does not collect on those flat, don't make any flat surfaces where water
angles
will get down and cause some rotting. So you got little angles on all your cuts, and get some top dressing, some good compost, some manure around those plants either this fall or in the spring to encourage new growth.
Okay.
All right. There it
thank
is.
You.
In a
Kathy,
nutshell.
Thank you so much. You've preserved my job.
And your arm got its much needed workout.
Exactly.
And of course, you're buying breakfast.
Oh, I know.
Speaking
you're
of
pheasant
much
under
need.
Glass. Here it comes. I can tell.
I'm so hungry, I might have two pheasants under glass if that's okay with you.
Oh, gotta call my bank.
That bank manager yells at you every Monday. What are you doing?
Happy 10th.
Hey, you too. Thanks, Frank. This has been so much fun. I mean, I wouldn't have nearly as much fun if you weren't here doing this with me. So I really appreciate you showing up every Saturday morning, all bright and chipper and full of silly ideas and crazy impersonations. Couldn't do without Sebastian either, on the other side of the glass. Thank you very much. And, of course, callers. The show is based on great callers and great questions.
And we have those.
And great tips.
Yeah.
We've had some wonderful tips. So everybody keep that in mind for next week, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.